Heavenly Father, as we enter your throne room, we come in the precious name of Jesus. Holy Master, we thank you for another opportunity to stand before these, your people, behind this sacred desk. I thank you, Father God, for each individual that is assembled here. The Holy Master, that their hearts, Father God, is good ground, fertile. Father God, that you pierce and penetrate their hearts with the incorruptible seed of the word. And Holy Master, I pray that as your word, Father God, penetrate and Father God, take germination. They will bring forth a harvest in the name of Jesus, an abundant harvest in Jesus' precious name. Now, Father God, I pray that our minds, Father God, will be illuminated with understanding this morning in Jesus' precious name. We submit humbly unto the authority of the Holy Spirit for our knowledge that he is the teacher. It is he that rightly by the word of truth with accuracy and clarity. I pray now for fresh revelation to flow freely. Father God, we are now open, Father God, to hear from the Holy Spirit whatever it is that your people need to receive. I pray that you'll bring it forth this day in Jesus' name with clarity and understanding in the precious name of Jesus. Have thine way in the midst of us. It's your servant's prayer. Let the redeemer of the Lord say together, amen. Then in the book of Luke chapter 22, Luke 22, beginning with verse number 40. It's on your monitors just in case you may not have your Bible or for your convenience. It's on the monitors. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven and strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from the prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. He said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise up and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Why ye sleep? Rise up and pray. Amen. Amen. There in Isaiah chapter 60, we're going to read just a couple of verses for your consideration. Chapter 60, beginning verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thy eyes round about, and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy sons, and come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Amen. At thy side. And one more passage. That in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding the will of what the will of the Father is. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Amen. I want to talk to you from this thought for your consideration. Luke 22. Verse 46, we'll draw our thought this morning. And said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. We'll talk to you about rise up and pray. Rise up and pray. If there ever was a time that the church need to rise up and pray, then the time is now. The time is now. The time is now for the church to rise up and to pray. Amen, amen. We need to understand that the world is depending on the church. But unfortunately, the church have fallen woefully short of what the church should be representing. It was a time where the world could look to the church for guidance. It used to be a time where the world could look to the church and they had an unwavering institution or organism that they could depend upon one whom trusted God. It did not matter what they was enduring or what they was facing, what turbulent times or storms may have come the church way. The church was rooted and grounded in the principles of the word of God. Now there are those of us that still are. Now, I'm not trying to throw you in the bag and shake you up with, you know, just the lukewarm individuals that have confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, but yet there is no fruit. Amen. There's no evidence that the Holy Spirit really is abiding, because you don't really see the evidence of the fruit that is being manifest in the church. And we need to learn how to get back, amen, get back to where we are falling. And the place that we fell from, the greatest is the place where, okay, thank you, Holy Spirit, is the place from our faith walk with God. Because whenever you are an individual that is willing to pray consistently, an individual that's willing to persist in prayer, to be persistent mean that you press on in spite of obstacles and in spite of things that are trying to impede where God is taking you. Continue to pray in spite of what's going on around you. See, that requires tremendous faith. It requires faith. It requires faith because you're gonna be in uncharted waters. You're going to find yourself in unfamiliar surroundings and dealing with unfamiliar circumstances. If you live in this earth, when you think you've seen it all, you really realize that you hadn't seen anything. Amen. And unfortunately, a lot of times we think that we've come to the point and place where we've seen it all, but then all of a sudden something come along and you realize that you hadn't seen as much as you thought you had. And so when you're dealing with circumstances such as that, it requires an individual that will walk by faith, amen, an individual that will trust God in spite of. An individual understand that, amen, that we're covered by the blood of Jesus. No matter what's going on around us, we need to go back to the book of Exodus, where when the death angel was passing over, they put the blood over the doorpost, amen. And although the death angel was all around them and everything was dying, amen, for the oldest of every living being creature was falling dead, but yet the death angel could not touch those that was covered under the blood. Somebody need to shout that the blood still has power. And when you understand who you are, and the reason that you are who you are is not based upon, amen, where you came from as far as your genetics, but it's based upon the blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary Cross. And the only way to stay covered under that blood is to continue to exercise neology. Because whenever you come short and miss your mark, you got to hasten your way back to the blood. And you got to fall on your knees and stay covered under the blood. See, when you understand that, whenever you understand that, amen, you rise up and pray. You realize that the world is dependent upon the church to be the church. Let me show you this. And I promise you, we won't be before you long. At least we don't intend to be. But I need to show you some things here, because I want to ignite something inside of you. You know, I want to say reignite, but maybe hadn't even been lit before. So for those of you that it may be, amen, that your flame had become a flicker, I want to reignite it. I want to become a torch, amen. For those of you that have never had anything lit, amen, we want to just turn a wick up, amen, and stick some fire to it and light it inside of you. And that thing is coming back to the place where you rise up and pray. Whenever you look around you and see things seem to be falling apart, but watch this, at a moment in my life where it seemed like everything was falling apart, I praise God for a very wise wife. She said to me, baby, it's not falling apart. It just may be falling into place. Because it's not lost on God. God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what he's permitting, what he's allowing. And the will of God will be manifest. And we will recognize and realize it was God all along. Oh, man, my God, my God. Arise, shine there in Isaiah chapter 60. For thy light come. For thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. See, God is not going to make us arise, but he's saying to us, arise. Arise. See, whenever you arise, it means that you're standing head and shoulders above your problems. When you arise, it means that when others are panicking, amen, you're still walking in faith. In other words, see you, okay, thank you, Holy Spirit. You remember there in the providence, amen, there in Babylon, rather, there in Daniel chapter 3, you remember, amen, whenever the king put forth a decree, and whenever everybody began to bow down, and all of those, perhaps hundreds of thousands of folk, amen, that was bowing down. See, what made Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego so obvious because they had arose. They were standing upright and they stood out like a sore thumb. Out of hundreds of thousands of folk, they noticed those three. You need to be the three that's still standing. You see, when the world is bowing down and when the world is yielding and giving in to the temptations to do what everybody else is doing, you need to be standing tall. You are the church of the living God. You are covered by the blood of Jesus. If you're going to make a difference in this world, the world needs to be able to see you. We're not the largest congregation, probably one of the smallest. But one thing about it, when you stand and stand right, the world will take notice of your existence. They might think that you're foolish because they don't really see what God is up to. But whenever you walk in faith and you can trust God, so the Bible says, arise, it's up to you. It's time to arise and pray. But our light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. God will cause his brilliance, his radiant glow to shine upon you. Amen. Something different about you. Amen. For behold, a darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness to people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Amen. Darkness have already covered the earth, and you better believe gross darkness have covered the people. People are doing any and everything. Amen. Even the children of God, we are supposed to be transforming the world, but we have conformed to the world, and we are doing exactly what the world is doing. And so therefore, darkness have covered the world and gross darkness to people, but the people are dependent upon the church. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon you. But see, the Lord's glory cannot arise upon you until you arise first. You can't. Light and darkness simply don't mix. The glory of God is light, radiance, illumination. But when you're walking in darkness and you're doing everything everybody else is doing, then that's why the glory of God is not seen upon you. That's why there's no respect for those who profess to be believers. And the Bible says, and the Gentiles should come to that light, and the kings to the brightness of your glory. God has said, I'm drawing the world back to the church. And unfortunately, a lot of the bigger institutions are going to be turned off to the world simply because thank you, Holy Spirit. You see, whenever we try to pacify and placate the world, whenever we try to do all of the trickery and all of the all of the schemes and the things to fill the seats. And the world really is not respecting that because the world really is coming for the God of the world. And I told you guys before that, you know, dual purpose. The God of the world, number one, is gold. It's money and it's the entertaining aspect of the world. So whenever you can put all the bells and whistles in place and get a world where they really get in the world, you know, on Sunday morning, the clubs are shut down. So they still want want to be entertained. So they'll come and they'll get, you know, they'll get entertained in the church. So therefore they're coming for the God of the world. But the world is going, thank you, Holy Spirit, because we're living in a time where you need to see the power of God manifested. Entertainment won't do anymore. Some things is going on in this world. You need to see the church that has arisen. Arise. The way the church arise. And when the church go on her knees and experience the power of God and be infused with the power of God, then we get up and we go and face the world. Okay. Okay, okay. Let's move on. There in Ephesians chapter 5. And I tell you what, let me do this real quickly. See, the world is depending on us to be the church. There in Matthew chapter 5. That's where I need to be. And then we're going to go ahead on and wrap this up and put a bow on it. But Matthew chapter 5, this is why the world is dependent upon us to be the church. Matthew chapter 5. Teach us in verse number 14 that we are the light of the world. We are the light dispels darkness. See, darkness have covered the earth and gross darkness the people. But we are the light. We are the illumination. Whenever we show up, we ought to be able to dispel the darkness. The people, they're walking and wandering aimlessly in the earth. They're looking for hope. And if you can't come to the church and get hope, where in the world would you get hope? It's important for us to come together on Sunday morning in order that we might be receive instructions and be discipled. But understand this, that when you leave here, the work began. Amen. When you leave here, you are a candle. Here, we are candles. But when you leave here, your light ought not be extinguished. Because the earth is covered with darkness and the people gross darkness. So even as a church, this is the building that has been consecrated in order for us to come and to give instruction, to get instructions. But when you leave here, your light ought to be shining bright. Amen. Amen. You make your room pitch dark and light a candle to walk in that room. That candle will give light to the room. There are individuals that are looking to you to be who you say you are. Are you or are you not the light of the world? That's what I want to know. Amen. If you're the light of the world, you ought to illuminate. Amen. There ought to be a luminous glow about you. Amen. Something that's different from someone else that just confessed Jesus. Amen. Okay, okay. You are the light of the world. A city set up on a hill cannot be hid. Here it is. You are a city. Listen. A city set upon a hill. You are a city. And if it's set upon a hill, that means it must be a valley somewhere. Because if it's a hill, it means that you're exalted. It has to be a valley down here. And so if you're walking in a valley in darkness, you look up to the hill, you see some light. And when you see the light, you see a way out. You see some hope. The world is depending on you and I. Where's the church? Where's the church? You got this verse. It says, neither do men light a candle and put it on a bushel, but on a candle so you give light to all that are in the house. You're the light of the world. And then it goes on to say in verse 16 that we're supposed to let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Don't you extinguish your light. You extinguish your light when you conform to what everybody else is doing. Don't you conform. You are a transformer. Transformer, what they do is they bring change. They don't conform. They don't become like everybody else. You ought not be concerned what people's perceptions of you are, whether or not they think that you're doing it the way everybody else is doing it. We'll get talked about, you know, man, what's wrong with them folks? They know that that corona is out there, and they know that, you know, you ought to be isolated and, you know, and it might as well be quarantined if you're going to do all that. Amen. And Smith got them folk out there, and they still, you know, you're going to get talked about either or, don't we? You can't conform. You got to transform. You can't conform, amen, to how the world is to see. And back in Babylon, everybody bowed down because they was afraid. They bowed down because they was afraid of Nebuchadnezzar. See, but the three that stood, they understood that they served the sovereign God of the universe. And so what I'm telling you is this, that you may be part of the minority, but the minority, but really you are the majority. Because if God be for you, he's more than the world is against you. So don't worry about folk, amen. Follow your conviction. Continue to trust God. I'm not trying to be little, you know. I believe in what I know that what's going on because I believe in science, but I believe in God more. So I believe that God can protect us from what, you know, we can't protect ourselves from. I just believe what I believe. I'm a little radical. I'm a little, you know, different from other folk, and I ain't trying to, you know. Okay. So here it is. So we're the light of the world. You let our light shine before me, and I need to illuminate the darkness around me. I can't have darkness all around me, and I'm supposed to be light, because if darkness is all around me, I'm not projecting the light that I should be projecting. Amen, amen, amen. If I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I think when I first started with my pastoral remarks, I challenged you, amen, just to, you know, put God to the test and just live righteous. Amen, just be who you say you are. Just if you believe in God, believe in God. If you believe the word of God is the final authority, if you believe that the word of God, there's no error, amen, in the word. If you believe what you say you believe, just believe what you say you believe and have a corresponding action for what you say you believe. In other words, do not conform to the world. Today's test. Let's do what today says. Today says. Here we find Jesus and the disciples at the Garden of Gethsemane. We find the disciples being in an unfamiliar territory. Understand that they had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. They had only seen the power of Jesus Christ. They seen him full display as Jesus opened blinded eyes and unstopped deaf ears and stretched out withered arms and hands and how he called the lame to walk. They seen him turn water into wine. They saw him as he took 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and fed 5,000. They saw him in his power, his splendor. They seen him in his glory and majesty. But here they are in unfamiliar waters. They're here in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus said to them, I want you to stay here and pray. Amen. Just stay here, watch and pray while I go over yonder and pray. See, before Jesus was still away to the mountain and talked to the Father, you know, on their behalf, and then he will rejoin them. But Jesus said, stay here. What you need to draw from this test is this. We find ourselves in unfamiliar waters, uncharted waters. You know, I've never seen things the way they are in my lifetime, 60 years of living. I hadn't seen the type of panic and hysteria that is going on in the earth now. I hadn't seen individuals, you know, just hoarding and just taking advantage of folk the way they are now. I hadn't seen the panic level where evil folk is just walking away and closing down coliseums and, you know, just everything, just shutting down and counseling things that you never thought in your life would ever. I've never seen it. Have you? Have you ever seen that? I've never seen it. I didn't think that was possible. I didn't think that, you know, anything could sweep the earth that would cause men to react the way they reacted now. And so this is what the disciples find themselves. They find themselves in unfamiliar territory. They find themselves to see Jesus in a place where he appeared to be vulnerable and he appeared to be defenseless and helpless. And here he is on his knees and he's praying to the Father, saying to the Father, if it be your will, remove this cup from me, but nevertheless, not as I will, but your will be done. They saw drops of sweat fall from him as if it were drops of blood, amen, falling from his forehead. They saw humanity, which appeared to be anxiety. They had never saw that before. So since they had seen that before, it was only natural They didn't know what to do. They didn't. Because Jesus was always the one that was there. Jesus, I'm going to tell you what you do. This is what you do. There in verse number 46, he said unto him, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter the temptation. Here it is. Rise and pray. It seems as if what we're seeing is only the beginning. It seems as if you listen to all the experts, we had the very initial phases. Arise and pray that you enter not into temptation. Because God knew, Jesus knew what they was getting ready to experience. The very next thing that happened was Judas came with the centurions, and Jesus seemed to be defenseless. Judas betrayed him, and Jesus allowed mere humans to take him and arrest him. And then they saw Jesus being abused, and they did nothing about it. It's time for you to rise up and pray. Because what's before you is designed to cause you to be tempted to walk away. What's before you is designed to cause you to conform to what the world is doing. Yeah, it is, it is, it is. So they saw Jesus at a vulnerable state. Watch this. Here it is. What they didn't understand was this, that although Jesus seemed to be defenseless and helpless, he wasn't. Catch this, don't you miss it. Everything that happened to him was already predestined on the foundation of the earth. Before Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, God already knew that he would. So God had already, by design, had a son in the fullness of time that he would come into the earth and that he would fulfill the very thing that man could not fulfill, which was the law. That he would fulfill the whole entire law, he would fulfill it. And not only that, but he knew that, watch this, that Jesus had to go through what he went through, and everything that man did to him, he permitted. I need you to catch that. Everything that was to happen going forward and beyond, he was still in absolute complete control. If he didn't want them to arrest him, they wouldn't have arrested him. If he didn't want them to beat him, they wouldn't have beat him. If he did not allow them to crucify him, they would not have crucified him. So what I'm saying to you is just, it's time for you to rise up and pray. Because everything that's going forth, you better understand, it's in the sovereign will of God. God is allowing it and permitting it to go forth. God is going to bring his full perfect will to fruition. It's designed to bring the church back to himself. Okay, let me walk you through this. I'm going to wrap it up and let you go. Instead of the disciples gravitating toward him, Peter followed him from afar off. Jesus already told him, you're going to deny me. Rise up and pray that you enter not into temptation. But no, you're still sleeping. You're still in the church, unfortunately. For the most part, we're still not awoke. Some of us, we're waking up, but we're not awoke. We're wiping our eyes. And you're considering turning over and hitting the snooze button. You're not fully awake yet. But I trust and believe you will be. If you are the church, you will either realign yourself with your purpose or you're going to become as the world. You either going to realign yourself with the perfect will of God for your life or you're going to become as the world. Watch this. This is what did I do. Rise up and pray that you enter not the temptation. Because if you follow Jesus, where you going to go? You're going to regress to the place where you came. There's nowhere to go except back. That in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus stepped on Peter's ship, Peter had been fishing. Jesus had him thrust out into the deep a little bit further. Peter said, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. We've been out here all night long, Jesus, and we have taken nothing. Jesus said, let me show you my power. Give you a demonstration of my power. Cast your net again. And the Bible says, and Peter brought so many fish. He had to beckon for others to come and help him. But here we find in Luke chapter 22, he's following Jesus to fall off, and Jesus had told him, rise up and pray that you're not into temptation. Because if you don't follow me, where are you going? Where are you going? Tell you where you're going. You're going to John chapter 21, beginning with verse 1, really, when they found themselves again at the Sea of Tiberias. And you found Peter along with eight other disciples. They went back. And then when Jesus showed up on the shore the next day, what was they doing? They were still fishing. And Jesus said to him, have you any meat? We've been toiling all night long. Woo! And they have taken nothing by design. If you don't rise up and pray, the only way to go is backwards. In the same thing God delivered you from, you're going to find yourself doing it, and the same results are going to be the same results. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. And where you came from was a place of nothing. Nowhere. And where you head back to is a place of nowhere that has nothing. You better rise up and pray. You better rise up and pray by design. And let me say this to you. While you're doing it, I'm not telling you to not be informed. And make sure you're informed so you know what to pray for. When you get up, when you rise up to pray, make sure you know what you're praying for. But what I'm going to tell you is this. Don't get addicted to allow negativity to enter your ear canal. Because it'll create panic. It'll create panic when you start seeing folk that you looked up to. When you start seeing them bow down. The enemy going to make you think that you're doing something wrong. The enemy going to cause you to be able to look at them and say, well, maybe they own to something. Maybe you might need to do it the way they're doing it. No, don't worry about being an island to yourself. Don't you worry about following God all by yourself. But you need to shut out all the negativity from your eye gate and ear gate. But hear just enough to be informed about what's going on. Because the enemy want to make you think that the centurions, you have power over Jesus. The enemy want to make you think that the cross have power over Jesus. But I declare that Sunday morning is coming. Yeah. That everything that God is permitting and allowing, that God is permitting and allowing in order that he might give you the victory. Yeah. The victory when Sunday morning came. It didn't matter what happened on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Amen. Victory showed up on Sunday morning. And I came to tell you, it might not look good right now. It may look like it's dead. It may look like it's over right now. But victory's on its way. If you rise up and pray, Jesus Christ have already risen from the grave. Whatever he say he permit, he's doing it for your good. He's going to work it out for your good. We will walk in victory. We will walk in victory. Don't you walk around here panicking. This is what I need you to do. I need you to follow 2 Chronicles 7:14. You have that elder. If my people, which are called by my name, should humble themselves and pray. Humble themselves and pray. My people. My people. Humble themselves and pray. But when you humble yourself and pray, he says, seek my face. Don't seek my hand. Just want me. Look to me. I have a solution for every problem you ever will ever experience. Seek my face. And this is it. And turn from your wicked ways. Can't have your cake and eat it too. Turn. Some things you got to walk away from. Some things you got to let go of because it's serious, it's important. The world is dependent on you. The people are dependent on you. You know, Shirley Caesar said, don't you let them down. They're depending on you. But see, you got to be willing to deny yourselves, take up your cross and follow him. There must be a turning from the thing to bring pleasure and gratification to the flesh. We got to turn, and we got to begin to seek him. You got to begin to seek him, turn. And then he said, if you can seek my face and turn, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive all of your sins, and I will heal the land. Are you concerned? It's a good place to be. Maybe it'll provoke you to go out on your knees. Be infused with power. And then rise. And when you go into the word, you speak hope. When everybody else tell you how awful it is and what's going on in the world, you have something to lift them up. Because they might need to hear what you heard during your time of prayer. You got to be different. Dare to be different. I know you heard that slogan. You must dare to be different. It's time to rise up and pray. It's enough shucking and jiving. You know, it's time for us to be the church. If you never really prayed before, you ought to be praying now more than ever. And I'm going to say this to you. For those that are still lukewarm and half-heartedly praying, oh, you're going to pray. Every time Israel drifted from God, God allowed a calamity, whether it was some type of famine or something to come upon them, because they were that important to God. God said, I will allow you to go through momentarily go through a period of your life being disrupted and things not being what it used to be in order that I might bring you back to me. Because I still have everything you need. You just forgot I got everything you need because you thought that you could get what you need on your own. So therefore, I would disrupt your life just for a moment to make you uncomfortable so you'll find your way back to me. What do you think is happening, children of God? God said, okay, America, okay, world, you think you know the way? I can assure you God can get you on your knees.
Yes, he will.
You're not big enough disruption coming in your personal life. There's one thing about when it's happening to other folk. But you let it start knocking at your door. If your bottom ever sat on a pew on a church pew, you never heard the preacher say anything about praying. You say, well, I tried everything I'm always trying to do. God, I need to talk to you. Do you want to shut my job down? No compensation. The market just came through the mail. I know it too. Them folks want the money for that car payment. Freezer running low on grub. Father, I need to talk to you. Yes, I need it. We need to talk, God. Because the government don't have the answer. They was ill-prepared for everything. Fact of the matter, we've been depending too much on them. So you took it out of their hands in order that you might put it in your hands in order that I might understand that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. I need to talk to you. You ain't praying yet. I'll talk to you in a couple more weeks. I guarantee you, you won't have to hear me say, rise up and pray. Amen. When I say you ought to be praying, you're going to throw your hands up and say, amen, preacher, I'm there. I'm all in with you. And you know what? Whenever you rise up and pray, no matter what's going on around you, you're going to have a peace, amen, that's surpassing all understanding. God is going to feel and flood your heart with peace. No circumstances have changed, but something in you have popped. Something in you will pop because are you living under the umbrella of the protective care of God? You say, God, I trust you with all. Stand to your feet. It's time to rise up and pray.